brought to you by Aiming for Jesus, Franklin County, stories of our lives. The stories that make up the lives of our Franklin County, Mississippi family of people, from the current to the ancient, to the funny, to the uplifting. And now, here's Hollis McGehee.
Well, I know you've heard of arena football and college football and probably peewee football, but have you ever heard of, more importantly, have you ever played courthouse football? If you've never played courthouse football, then you know nothing of real football. When you play courthouse football in Meadville, Mississippi, on the Franklin County courthouse lawn, in front of your friends and your neighbors who are walking by and looking out the windows of the bank and other businesses along the street and the courthouse and all the other windows that look out on the courthouse lawn, which is basically every window in downtown Meadville almost, then that's the crowd you're playing in front of. You're talking about being inspired? Line up with 10 or 12 or 15 or so of your peers, your fellow 12-year-olds and 11-year-olds and 13-year-olds, and play full-on tackle football with nothing on but your T-shirt and your blue jeans and no socks or shoes on. To say that football is the king of sports in the Deep South is an understatement. The love of football by many, but not all, starts at an early age. Franklin County is right there with the best of them in fomenting this love of football. Once a Franklin County Bulldog, always a Bulldog. While I don't see it much today, at one time, the front lawn of the courthouse in Meadville was a key place we played football. The current is not so amenable to the games we played. While it looks nice and stately, the current handicap ramp and extended entrance did not exist back in the day. The old oak tree stood where the monument to Miss Golf currently stands. There were two low-profile floodlights. One projected on each side of the courthouse, but they served as strategic blockers on certain plays and didn't hinder our games too much. They were there for one purpose, but we used them for multiple purposes. Memories of the game usually included the members of the Meadville Cardinal baseball team who were waiting for the truck to go to practice, plus other stragglers. We would divide up and play a live tackle game, no pads. Two-hand touch, not for us, tackle all the way. Concrete sidewalks, floodlights, and all. No helmets, no mouthpieces, that stuff was for sissies. Take the opening kickoff, fall in behind some other wider bodies, and try to just simply run over the defense or outrun them. As a defender, grab an arm, a leg, snatch them down from behind, horse collar tackle, and all. No referee, no penalties, anything goes. No such thing as pass interference or holding. Just smash the opposing side into submission. Bloodied lips, skint noggin, scraped knees, not too many broken bones, and no permanent injuries that we can recall. Except to our pride sometimes. Several times tempers flared and fists flew, but after the dispute was resolved, back to playing. I do remember an episode of one rather husky fella getting into it with another and deciding to headbutt him into submission. It worked. Huddles included arguing over who was quarterback, who was blocking, and who was going out for a pass. The plays were drawn in the dirt. Faster guys were told to go long. Everybody else just ran around trying to get open. Pass rushers had to count 1,001, 1,002. They had to go to five before the rushing or before the quarterback could run with the football. We were exhausted, but we had fun and we were building character. I guess. Surely it toughed us up a bit for the rigors of real Franklin County football to come later as a Bulldog. When we got bored our playing, our attention would get diverted to the county jail prisoners who hung their arms out small square windows on the second floor, or we snuck behind the bushes and watched the whiskey-laced domino game being played in the basement of the courthouse, or caught goldfish in a Coke cup from Miss Goff's goldfish pond before she could catch us. Always something to amuse us, and it really didn't take much. I wish people today played courthouse football like we did. It was a big part of our day when it came to our athleticism, when it came to our exercise. We exercised with blood and with bent egos and triumph, the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat in courthouse football in the middle of Meadville, Franklin County, Mississippi. If you hadn't played it, you just hadn't lived. While I'm on the subject of the courthouse, I want to tell you about our all-purpose courthouse and some of the daily activities. We just talked about courthouse football and how unique and character building that was. But let me tell you some other things about the Franklin County Courthouse in Meadville. It's right in the middle of town. I bet some of you don't know that the man who originally gave the land for the courthouse said he was donating it to the county on the condition that they would make the street in front of it wide enough for three wagons to pass simultaneously. I believe that was William Proby, if memory serves me correct. I've told another story about him when I talked about the intersection by Yap Road and Berrytown Road and Highway 98. Peggy Mulkey Richardson reminded me a few days ago in a message about playing hide and seek in the courthouse and chase. I don't remember the courthouse really being locked. It seems like we had access to it almost any time. And my goodness, back then there wasn't as much business going on, or it seemed like it to us, or maybe there was more going on and we were so busy we didn't notice it. But we would run and chase each other with three floors to travel around. This was the biggest building we knew of. Nobody knew of a building bigger than the Franklin County Courthouse. There were places to hide and places to ambush people, and it was just great fun for us, and there was always something going on around there. If you got bored playing with each other, it was always something else. There was a domino game going in the basement. We could go out back and see the prisoners lowering. They had little strings, and the windows in the courthouse up on the second floor where the jail was, they could lower down things, little receptacles they had, little buckets and things, and people could put cigarettes or cold drink or things of that nature. This was kind of like back in biblical times. You depended on your family and your friends to supply your needs while you were in jail. So another thing about the courthouse is some of the things that I remember happening around it. There was always some drama to be had around the Franklin County Courthouse. I remember one time when it snowed pretty good, and James Posey, who was later sheriff, that's another story I'd like to tell, was in his body shop where back in the very back of Pritchard Chevrolet, but at that time Pritchard Chevrolet no longer existed. That'd be on the west side of the courthouse, fronting on Main Street, Highway 84. But at the very far end of that building was where James Posey had his body shop. And it was one of those rare times in the late winter and early spring we had a we had a pretty good little snowfall, pretty good for us, which probably means an inch or inch and a half or maybe even 2 inches. And we were warming up in there. James had this really cool heater. It was like an old wood heater, but it was filled with bricks, as I recall. I guess they were fire bricks, and it was gas fired, and that sucker would get red hot. And we were standing around there talking to him and warming up after having had all the snowball fights we could stand for a while. And somebody in the group, I'm not going to name any names except myself. I let the others confess to their guilt if they feel led to. They said, look over there. There's Bernice Beasley. Now, Mr. Beasley was our Mississippi State Highway Patrolman at the time. I don't believe we had another one. There were many others, and we could maybe make a whole story about that sometimes. Bernice was a really nice man. But he didn't put up with any foolishness. And foolishness was about all we were about at that time. And so this whole group, and I was probably the youngest person in the group. Most of them were 2 or 3 or 4 years older than me. And we were all standing around that heater, and they saw him getting in his car, and they said, I tell you what, when he comes by, let's all throw a snowball at him. We all gathered up a handful of snow, and I don't know, he had some business there in his car for a few minutes. Maybe he was just warming it up, getting ice off the windows. But he lingered a few minutes, and by the time he came around the corner and came in front of where we were on the street, I believe that's Walnut Street on the west side of the courthouse, our snowballs had turned into ice rocks because we're standing by that heater and it's warming it up, melting it and turning it into ice. And they all said, all right, we're going to all throw. Let's go. 1, 2, 3, throw. And I never saw that many people disappear that fast. And only one ice rock came out of that shop. And guess whose hand released it? Yep, it was me. Everybody else, I don't know if they had agreed to kind of trick, or as we used to say, grin me into doing that. But that thing hit Mr. Beasley's car, whap! And he hit the brakes and skidded a little bit. And he came in there. He was mad as a wet hen. Well, everybody was gone, and there was like a little loft right over that heater. It was just open. There were a couple of car seats, old car seats and things up there. And James pointed, and I jumped up the little ladder thing there and got up in that little loft. I could almost reach out my hand and touch Officer Beasley when he came in, and smoke was coming out of his ears. And James said, I don't know who did that. And he knew he wasn't telling the truth, but He said, well, if I get a hold of him, about that time, the little seat that I was sitting on rocked a little bit and bumped the ceiling. It was sitting uneven, and I was probably shaking, and it leaned over and bumped the ceiling. And Bernice Beasley said, what was that? And James Posey said, that was probably just that one of those cats that stay around here. And he said, you tell that damn cat to come down or I'm going to come up there and get him. I shouldn't have said that, but that's what he said, as I recall. And James saved my life, I guess. He said, well, if you go up there, you're going to go up there over my dead body. And Bernice just stared at him a minute and turned around and went out. You know, another thing that we all remember if we grew up in that time is the tree. I don't even have to say anything more when you're talking about the courthouse and the tree. There was a huge live oak tree that had a big canopy, and I don't know if they developed it like that, but it was like a big cave, because when you ducked under that canopy, it was like being in a circus tent. And I mean, there could be, memory can get exaggerated as we get older and we're bigger, but it seemed like to me there was room for 100 people under there. And I mean, this thing was huge. The canopy that it cast, I don't know, I would say was 40 or 50 feet across. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. And there were all kind of low-hanging limbs that swooped down to the ground, and you could climb and just have all manner of fun. And you could get into all manner of trouble doing all the things our parents told us not to do, involving how we were talking and smoking and things we looked at and all of that. So that was a great place to carry on life as a young boy and girl, mainly boys as I recall, but I'm sure the girls enjoyed it too, under the big tree at the courthouse. Now, like in my story, and that story about the courthouse was actually sent to me by Kerry Buckles, but I had the same story in my own life, but I used his. But anyway, now there's a monument to Miss Goff, and that's another story that we need to tell soon, where the tree used to be. Now, across the street from the courthouse was where Miss Goff's house was. And at that time, Miss Goff's house was between the old, the what we would call the Franklin Furniture Store, which is now the Chess Center, and the old O.V. Lee Drug Store, the small building next to it, which is also a part of the Chess Center. And then there wasn't another business for about, 75 or 100 foot or so. And there was a concrete wall that stood up maybe, 4 feet high, something like that, maybe a little more. And Miss Goff's house was up higher than everything else around it. And her house was surrounded by old hedge bushes. Well, I could call it virgin hedge bush. And behind it was more of the same, and it was another canopy like that, not just like, but similar to in feel to that under the big tree. And all manner of fun and chases and things that shouldn't have been done and things that we won't still tell about happened in those woods behind Miss Goff's house. And Miss Goff had a goldfish pond. Like I said, I'm going to have to save Miss Goff for another story, but she was, to us at least, an extremely ancient lady, white-haired, short, given to excitement when confronted with anything. Her favorite words that I recall, when something would happen that was untoward, like us raiding her goldfish pond. I remember one unnamed friend that I grew up with that had a especially little mean twist to him, and he would put a bottle of Alka-Seltzer, a whole bottle, into the goldfish pond. I think the goldfish got rid of their bellyache, and that's all that really happened with that. I don't remember the goldfish ever disappearing, except as we might have hauled them off, but mostly we just caught them and let them go. Put them back in the pond. I don't remember anybody eating any of them. So those were some of the things that happened around the Franklin County Courthouse. And sometimes they actually carried on business there as well. I attended quite a few trials as a young man growing up, my father being an attorney, and I had long since made up my mind that's what I wanted to do. So when there was drama in the courtroom, I remember being there. Comes to mind immediately is a trial involving a murder charge or a manslaughter charge, I believe. Murder or manslaughter against a man who was known by most people. His legal name was Bruno Gibbs, but he was also known, he had a nickname of Son Peaches, and he was alleged to have killed a young man from out in the county who threatened him in his business establishment in Butte. And I remember that trial being quite tense. Years later, I would try cases in that same courtroom, and I'd love to tell some of those stories at some point in time. But for now, we're just going to say that the Franklin County Courthouse was pretty much the center of what we did if you grew up around Meville. And even if you were from out in the county and you were in town, then you were involved too. We had an all-purpose courthouse in Meville, and sometimes they actually had court too. There were a group of ladies working, serving in offices in the courthouse. I'm relating back to 1977 and before then. I could go in any office in there, and if I had a question about the county, about who lived in the county and who their relatives were and where they came from, or anything to do with land and people in Franklin County, there were records, the official records, the land records, in the office of the Chancery Clerk in what we call the record room. But these ladies had this knowledge stored in their noggins. They were smart, and they knew what was going on in their county. Now, there are many people that I won't think to mention, but I'm going to mention the primary ones that I would go to and ask questions of, like Miss Ethel Lewis and Miss Lorena Dean and Miss Alice Zumbro. And like I say, I know I'm leaving some out, but forgive my poor memory. But, you know, I could go in, say, Miss Alice Zumbro's office and say, Miss Alice, who were the Lipovac? And they were two Lithuanians, Joe and I can't remember the second brother's name, Lipovac. And, you know, when you were looking at the land records and you ran into them, you knew they weren't from Franklin County originally. We just didn't have a whole host of, we didn't have a Lithuanian quarter or place designated for that group of people, because we only had two of them. But you could get information like that all around the courthouse. And there were men there that knew a lot too. Mr. Johnny Monroe and Mr. John Cox were certainly two of those. Mr. Cox was gone by the time I got out of law school and started law practice in 1976. Some of you know this, but a lot of you probably don't, that when you study those land records, you get a strong sense of the history of the county, and you come to understand the connections and relations between people and places and their ancestors who went before them, and how things were divided up, and the purpose of different places and events in the county as they relate to those land records and the stories that they tell about life in Franklin County and the history of Franklin County. You would run into the fact that there was a fire at a certain time and certain books were missing, and so you had a gap there. It was covered in other ways, but all sorts of things like that. And of course, one of the things you had to look at from time to time as you researched the records was old Franklin County, Franklin Advocate newspapers and articles. And, you know, you would go for the purpose of looking at an article, and I'm just going to pull out of the air, say 1946, and you'd find that article and you would read what you needed to read about a land sale or whatever it might have been, or trial or whatever. But then all of a sudden your attention gets drawn to another story and another article, and you wind up realizing that you've spent an hour looking at something that should have taken you a few minutes if you were interested in that sort of thing. And I certainly was. And you had to learn how to draw. I was terrible at it, but you had to learn how to draw, to plot out land and to learn about relationships between adjoining tracts of land and how certain things changed over the years and how that created some confusion, particularly streams of water, of course, were one of those things, but roads, you know, that were originally located here and moved over there, and what that did to the property line that says go up to the starting at the corner of the oak tree and going thence westerly in a westerly direction for 300 feet more or less to the east bank of the Meadville-Gloucester Road. Well, the Meadville-Gloucester Road isn't at that time when you're reading that where it was at the time when the deed was made referencing that. And so there was a lot of things to be gained, and there were old original land grants that were very interesting to look at, and old maps and plats, some of the so-called original of those things when the whole county and beyond was laid out. So the Franklin County Courthouse was a center of learning for me. And, you know, anybody can go look at those records. They need to be handled carefully and respectfully. And you always put your books back up. You don't leave your books laying out. You learn that pretty early on. But you can get quite an education looking at the records, the public records that are in the Franklin County Courthouse. You can look at the dockets of the courts and see things there, some that you probably wish you hadn't seen, but, you know, you can learn a lot about the history of your county and state and nation, at your courthouse, at least in Meadville, Mississippi, that's true. So this is makes three different things I've stories I've told that relate to the courthouse and the center of town and center of our county, really. Well, I hope you've enjoyed this. I have. If you hadn't, I have. Just reminding myself of the blessings I had of the people that knew so much when I first started in law practice and needed so much help. I need it even more today. Thank you and God bless you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you for all the blessings of life. We thank you for the blessing of being raised in such a wonderful place, not perfect, but a place that we were blessed to be a part of and blessed still and always to call home, no matter where we are. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us and bringing us to this moment in life. We give you honor and glory and praise through Jesus' name. Amen.
This concludes this episode of Franklin County Stories of Our Lives. Thank you for joining us. Until next time, let's keep aiming for Jesus.